Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tickets, Rotten Radio.
If you guys will go halvesies, I'll go to Jamaica and try and recreate it.
Man, I don't
think... That's my offer to you.
I don't think you could do that.
Well, I don't go halfsies with anyone who uses the term halfsies.
You don't feel buoyant as this guy. He feels more buoyant than you. Is that okay? Say that word again. Buoyant?
Buoyant? I think you're saying it wrong. Buoyant.
I think it's buoyant.
Buoyant.
Like buoyancy?
Like it's a buoy. The thing that floats in the lake?
Right.
Is a buoy.
Right.
How do they get that thing floating right there and doesn't move?
Hey, you can pronounce it any way you want. You don't float like that, dude.
Let's find out.
That's so weird.
Buoyant.
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 You know, but Bob, he's mispronouncing the word, but
buoyant.
It's a good point. Why do we say buoy
when it's
or
a buoy?
Right. And then we say buoyant.
Yeah.
So we that's call what it a buoy.
That's what threw him.
It should be buoyant.
Buoyant.
I like how he almost stops down and isolates the word. He kind of highlights it when he mispronounces it.
If you guys will go halvesies, I'll go to Jamaica and try and recreate it.
Man, I don't
think... That's my offer to you.
I don't think you could do that.
Well, I don't go halvesies with anyone who uses the term halvesies.
You don't feel buoyant as this guy. He feels more buoyant than you. Is that okay? Say that word again. Buoyant?
Buoyant? I think you're saying it wrong. Buoyant.
Buoyant? I think it's buoyant.
Buoyant.
Like buoyancy?
Like it's a buoy. The thing that floats in the lake?
Right.
Is a buoy.
Right.
How do they get that thing floating right there and doesn't move?
Hey, you can pronounce it any way you want. You don't float like that, dude.
That's also a fair question by Dan. How do they get the buoy to float but not move?
It's anchored to the floor of the
lake?
To the bottom. Yeah.
That's amazing technology.
Yeah, it is.
I also like Dan quickly saying, say that word again.
Yeah, that's... Was that buoyant. Good partner? Was that being a good partner? Hey, say the thing that I know that is wrong again.
Buoyant.
You've been listening to exclusive coverage.
Shut up.
Excuse me.
You're drunk already.
I know. I had a shot.
Oh. Whoa.
Did I just cuss?
You already had three of those today, actually.
Are we up here?
By the way, Corby doo-dooed at the Masters. He did. Yeah, he bombed the Masters.
That's how they ended their show yesterday. What a mess. Are we up here?
What is Corby's deal that he will go number two at major sporting events?
It's that's his big thing.
It's nothing.
He said that he wants to bomb every major.
It happens, man.
All right, one more time.
You've been listening to exclusive coverage.
Shut up.
Excuse me.
You're drunk already.
I had a shot.
Whoa.
Did I just cuss?
You already had three of those today, actually.
Are we up here?
By the way, Corby doo-dooed at the Masters. He did. Yeah, he bombed the Masters.
There was nothing slick about any of that broadcasting.
No. Well, how about Danny's voice?
He did three times.
He did a couple shots.
And then there's Masters.
And then there's Mike, who's almost off mic, asking, "Are we up here? Are we up here?"
Yeah, I think it's one more time on that.
You've been listening to exclusive coverage.
Shut up.
Excuse me.
You're drunk already.
I had a shot.
Whoa.
Did I just cuss?
You already had three of those today, actually.
Are we up here?
By the way, Corby doo-dooed at the Masters. He did. Yeah, he bombed the Masters.
I don't know. Is that how the Golf Channel wound it up last night?
One broadcaster accusing another one.
By the way, Rich Lerner doo-dooed at the Masters today. Brandel Chamblee going, yeah, he did. Oh, man.
That's a funny way to phrase it, too. Not doo-dooed at the course, or he doo-dooed at the Masters.
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be your 20th season. Will it be your last?
I'm not sure. I think I kind of want to leave the end open a little bit. As of now, I felt fine. Had that little Achilles problem last year, which wasn't great, and I wasn't happy about it. It took a little longer to heal, but I want to do this as long as it's fun, as long as the whole body's holding up. So I kind of leave the end open, honestly. Whatever I think my body and my mind are going to tell me after one season that it's time, but as of now, I'm still grinding away, and it's still fun.
You know, we don't try to beat you down with chapter and verse about everything if you're in previous season when you come in here, but 30,000 was amazing. That night was one of those things on your DVR that you have to put the little blue thing next to it so you don't absolutely delete it when you run out of room. That was...
Harrison Barnes told us how they were busting your balls before that.
But did they?
Just that... Because you needed 18, and they're like, you're not getting there.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, I need 20. Yeah. They were saying that's three games probably for me these days. Yeah. It was almost like scripted. I'm not sure. That night was just perfect. You know, so right behind after the All-Star game, I wasn't shooting the ball well at all. I was struggling and making shots, and then leading up to it, it took a lot longer than we'd hoped. We obviously was hoping it was going to happen in that homestand. And we had like a 10-day homestand, and it happened almost at the end. But it was amazing. And that day, they said you need 20, and I come in for shoot around. I already see the 30K shirts everywhere, so I got a little nervous.
I got a little nervous.
I even texted one of our Mavs employees, and I was like, "Hey, you think this is good? Can we take them off and maybe give them the next game?" But the way they explained it to me, it was Dirk week, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's going to happen eventually. And if it doesn't happen, they can wear the shirts again next game. And so I was fine with it. And then just got into one of those zones, you know, the coach called the first play for me, made the first shot. And then I remember the second shot right away. I was like, I might as well see how good it's feeling. And I shot a three, which I usually probably shouldn't have shot. But that day it was going in, and then from then on out it was just on. Everything I shot was going in. Every time we were going on offense, I felt the crowd roaring and getting ready for it. And then I was actually so fired up. I had 18 in the first quarter, and then I came out the second quarter. I knew the play was called for me, and I was so fired up. I shot an air ball the first shot. And then I was like, okay, I got to settle down. And the second time we came down, coach just called a simple play. Just get the ball and they'll get to either block wherever you can, drop it in and do something. And I was able to face up and I was able to make the shot. So what a wonderful memory. Obviously, never forget that. I looked up. I see Holger with the tears in his eyes. I saw some of the videos they played on the Jumbotron, which were amazing, and some of my ex-teammates, even some from some German guys, some soccer stars, and it was an emotional week for me with some friends in town, with Holger in town, and I'll definitely never forget.
I'd like to go back to the 20th season thing just for a second. Because everybody says, oh, he's more like Tim Duncan. He won't play this up. You won't get a Dirk announcement before the season. Is that true?
Yeah, I think I want to just play and see what happens during the season, and if then we'll sit together with wifey and make a decision. If it's time to go, it's time to go, and if not,
but if you know it's going to be your last season, you're not going to announce it to the media.
Well, like I said, I don't think I would know that. You know,
okay.
I would just
and then I'm wondering
play
this
through it and see how it feels and.
Because as
about
far
20
as,
seasons, and I'm turning 40 next year. I mean, it's some
it's
great,
all very
it's some great numbers.
Symmetrical, yeah.
It's some great numbers.
But what number do you wear?
41.
See?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's all. I leave it all open, and I don't think I'm going to announce it before the season. If that's what you're asking.
And I'm wondering if you would announce it though, like with a week out or a couple weeks out, because I almost think. One of the reasons maybe that you wouldn't announce it is you aren't like a, hey, look at me guy. You're always, but would that be a chance for fans to then, you know, outpour some love? It's kind of a gift almost to the Mavs fans if they knew, hey, this is your last game. Whereas if you didn't do that, it'd be like, oh, wow, that was the last time I saw him, I didn't realize I'd see
yeah,
that.
So I still wouldn't think I would announce it early. Now, I don't think I would do it like Tim Duncan and just send out an email, hey, by the way, see ya.
Yeah.
Little peace sign.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little more than that when it's done. And
it's weird to think about, probably, huh?
Yeah. And hopefully it won't happen for a few years, but...
would you say you're at least in your last 5 years?
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's
you won't be playing at 46.
No, I won't.
Would you think there's a possibility that you would wear another uniform?
No, not at this stage. Not at this stage. I've been representing the Mavs.
So Golden State needs like a seventh three-point shooter. You're not going to join them.
No, it's too late.
Like in 2 years from now.
It's too late now.
Okay.
Speed run?
Let's go.
Okay. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Why does Dirk drink from two Gatorade bottles during a game?
Good question. So one is actually Gatorade and one is water. I don't like to drink just water because sometimes I need a little sugar to pick me up in a timeout, and I just don't want to drink all Gatorade because then it's too much sugar. So I drink mostly water during a game, but in some timeouts I do drink Gatorade.
Nobody else is authorized to grab your bottle?
No, it's got the 41
okay.
H2O and the 41 regular. So the regular one is obviously Gatorade, and the H2O is water.
All right. The last time you were measured for this, if ever, how much can you bench?
Oh, wow. I was never a big weightlifter. You know, I do my fair share of push-ups, especially on fingertips. So that was Holger's thing for the shot. You know, always do fingertip push-ups. So I usually do them every other day. But bench press was never really my thing. You know?
Okay. They didn't have a combine for you.
I didn't go.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure they had back in the days. But since I didn't know if I was coming to the U.S. or not at the time, I skipped the combine. I skipped the draft.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even go to the draft back in the days. I think our draft was in Toronto at the time. They didn't do the whole New York thing every year. But I didn't go to the draft that year.
Okay.
So, but I'm guessing, if I would guess, I'm maxing out at 135, which is not good for an NBA player, obviously.
You're doing fine. You did you made it work for
you. At least I keep my legs sort of strong, and I lift a lot of legs now. For obviously, it's good for the
can't skip
knees
leg day.
No, I can't skip that. But the upper body, the guys are making fun of me every day.
How tall is Kevin Durant?
He's so long and tall. He's a legit, I would say, 7 feet.
Okay.
With long arms. And
what are you, a legit?
With shoes, probably 7'1", but without shoes, I'm 7 feet. But I'm literally eye to eye with him. I mean,
okay,
because he plays like a guard. You wouldn't think he's so tall, but he is. He is so tall, and his arms are long, and he's special. Love watching him play. Love his skill level. There's nothing he can't really do on the court, and he's definitely one of the best we got in our game.
I think I told you I was skeptical of both his height and Nerlens Noel's height, because when they stand next to you, you look like you tower over them a little bit.
I'm a little taller than Nerlens. I don't think I'm much taller than KD.
Okay.
If he's 6'11", he might be 6'11", but
okay.
He is he's legit tall and long, and he's got unbelievable game.
When radio is left out in the sun way too long, it's rotten radio. On the ticket.
Rotten Radio.
He is administered his high colonics and his sensual touching.
Gosh.
So after the tennis sees this, he orders his pygmies to firemen carry him out onto the field. He did this so he could confront this tuna-needed situation.
Right.
Well, as Keyshawn and Antonio struggled to undress each other in their pugilism, the tuna had his abdomen loaded into a wheelbarrow so he could push close to the warring receivers. Stop that fighting right now, bellowed the tuna from underneath his gelatinous rolls of fat.
Come on.
Antonio retorted, but tuna, You are the old man, and I am a young and cocky receiver. Mm-hmm. I desire these representatives in camp that is many.
In other words, he wanted a lot of reps.
This angered the bulbous tuna.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Good Bryant, surely you're not challenging me, for you know I have the power to destroy you and lay waste to your family."
Whoa, oh, really? Man.
The tuna then pointed down to his fupa, lying there quivering in the barrel of the wheelbarrow. Antonio was unfazed by the threat of Parcells using his fupa powers, and he proceeded to throw his jersey in the face head of the giant sea creature.
Oh no,
sea creature.
Parcells told him to stop it, and that he was being a jerk, except he used the word that rhymes with bunt.
Whoa,
oh, gosh.
Okay, thanks for that insight.
Antonio did not stop throwing the clothing, however. First it was the jersey, then the pants, then the underwear, and then the shirts and vests and chapeaus and bandanas and camouflage.
Camouflage? Why was he so heavily clothed?
The tuna belly fat in the wheelbarrow began to glow bright red as this armoire full of clothes hit the tuna in the face repeatedly.
Oh, gosh.
Other players gathered round in a circle as the fupa began to glow as red as E.T.'s heart with anger. Then, this is so horrible, I can barely speak.
This is a deep throat informant telling us what happened between Bryant and Parcells. Can you continue?
Then, as all the players were gathered round in a circle in stunned silence, they looked down into the wheelbarrow, and the glowing fupa split open, and a fire consumed Antonio Bryant and melted his face.
Wow! Oh my gosh!
It was as if the wrath of God was unleashed.
Shocking.
The lesson is to never mess with the tuna.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
The tuna.
What?
What, George?
You said tuna in a funny way.
This is very hard for him to get through this.
I'm sorry.
I don't appreciate you
I'm sorry.
Fun of my tragedies.
I'm sorry. Deep.
No informant. Funeral.
Pardon me? Oh my gosh.
That was unnecessary.
Your comment pushed him over the edge,
no,
George.
It didn't. That was just a sound effect.
You're indirectly responsible for whatever happened in that.
It's just a
room.
This could be extremely damaging.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Rotten Radio.
Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
Rotten Radio.
Today is June 12th. Do you know what that is?
I do.
And then Jake passed us on a tweet that said, somebody put out there that the Mavs partying in Miami, it was June 12th, 2011,
mm-hmm.
when you guys won the championship.
More yes. The party was more of the 13th, probably.
Both.
The Mavs party in Miami in 2011 is the most epic championship celebration ever documented on social media.
Really?
Just take us back to, we've talked about many aspects of the championship. How about that night, though?
Oh, that night was special.
Like, when did you go to bed?
I don't think I slept much.
And then detail everything that happened before that.
So,
that you can
what
remember.
Happened was literally, I mean, you're in the gym forever, press conferences, then you get to shoot a photo shoot with the trophy and with everybody. And
oh, that's right.
Yeah, with Bill Russell. And so you're literally in the arena for a couple hours. We have not eaten anything, and basically one bus went right to the club, whoever wanted to go, and one bus with all the family, whoever, went back to the hotel, and they had a meal room there, but we obviously had to go to the club. I mean, it's it's our championship, and I wasn't going to go home and eat, so we went right to the club, no food, started boozing, and It was a good time. Lil Wayne was next to us, and I think Trey Songz was in there, and oh man, Cuban got in and bought the biggest bottle of champagne I've ever seen. I think it was like $100,000,
and we started, for one bottle.
Yeah, I think so. And we started to drink it like this. I mean, it was we had a good old time. And
rumor had it that he spent $1 million at the club that night. Can you buy that?
I think that's a little steep.
A little steep. Okay.
Yeah, I only saw that one huge bottle of champagne. That's really all I saw, but no, we had a blast, and then I think we must have stayed there till 4 or 5 or something and went home. Then I finally ordered a burger from room service real quick and maybe passed out for an hour or two, and then we already flew back home. So I actually felt miserable when we landed, and then you see all these people there, which is awesome, but my head was pounding. Good times, though. Good times.
Good times, and then... Did you have another a day before the parade? A day to
It was a
dry
couple
out?
Days. It was a couple days. It was a couple days.
Yeah.
We did a few things, but I was actually saying we partied a little harder in 06 when we lost, just to get over that frustration, than we did in 11. Than when we won. I think we're an older team. I think everybody was completely exhausted, with Jay Kidd being obviously almost 40, and Jet and Tyson, and I think. Till the parade, we had one or two more good nights, but it wasn't like we went really, really all out. We were all exhausted from the run, and in 06, to get over that frustration, we did like 2 or 3 weeks straight. I remember every day Jed used to show up at the house, what we do in the day, and just to get over it. And
damn, so
that was the good the younger days.
Yeah, I've never heard about that, really.
Yeah.
I thought there was always the... Wasn't there a party that was kind of partly thrown to blame for the 06 fall? That there was some kind of a party thrown during the series?
No. I think somebody said that, you know, we had like a week, I think, before the final started. That we did something there, but that was not right.
That was
anybody
BS.
Who knows me knows I wouldn't party before the deal's done. So
did you move hotels though? Avery didn't even
that was in the middle
the
of the finals.
Yeah,
but he was saying there was just too many family members, too many distractions going on. So when we lost game 3 in a heartbreaker, which we should have won. That's the big free throw I missed to tie at the end. Game 4, we got blown out, and then Avery was just on it. I mean, so on the bus, I think we had 2 days in between game 4 and game 5, and the bus pulled in the hotel. He gets up. He's like, everybody, listen, pack your stuff. We're leaving tomorrow after practice. We're not coming back here. So we moved hotels out to Fort Lauderdale. It's actually a funny story. I don't think I've told you guys. So, I guess they only had a certain amount of rooms left at that Marriott we moved to.
Yeah, I mean, how are you supposed to just...
So, because we needed like 20, 25, 30 rooms or whatever who went. I can't remember who all went. Obviously, some of the staff didn't have to. So I'm checking my room. Click, click, I go in. I was like, oh, sweet, there's 2 beds. So I'm throwing my backpack and my bag on one bed. I lay down on the other bed. 2 minutes later, I hear the door click, and I was like, who's this, the maid? I look up, it's Daryl Armstrong. So we had,
you had a room
we
with
had
him?
Roommates in the finals before game 5.
Oh.
It was a cluster. I mean, DA of all people, he is absolutely nuts, as you guys know. I mean, he's an animal. So, oh man, we had a good old time.
So for the first time in years, probably, you have a roommate.
In the first time, not even in summer league back in the days, did I have a roommate. Now, in Germany in the summer, when we travel, we do roommates with the national team because they obviously don't have the funding the NBA does. So in the summer, I used to have some roommates. But I was in shock. Everybody like was so for 2 nights, one night, and then we practiced the next day, and then the game was the following night. So we stayed 2 nights with roommates, a DA in a room. It was a blast.
So there was nothing about like a... See, my memory is not very good, Dirk. A Josh Howard birthday party flyer or
That was a couple years.
That was New Orleans series.
Yes, that was good memory. That was a couple years later. That was in 08. That was actually Avery's last year. That was Jake Kidd's first year. We traded for him at the All-Star game, mm-hmm. all around the All-Star. And so we lost to New Orleans, I think, in five, pretty quick, pretty. And there were some birthday flyers passed out before one of the games.
And he was none too happy about that.
And Avery saw the flyer, and so.
Do you have an Avery imitation? Can you imitate
I can't. No, I'm not that good. But Avery was actually a good coach. He was just so intense. I mean, some of the film sessions, I wish we would have filmed, because, I mean, there was some stuff said and done. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, he would come in, and we'd won a game, whatever. The next day he comes in and say, "Welcome to the Jason Terry and Dirk Nowitzki horror show," because our defense was, again, horrible that night. So he literally would have like 5 or 6 minutes of clips with just me and Jet on and just kill us. I mean, we had some good times with Avery.
Wow, and that's following the stylings of Don Nelson, which are way different.
With Nelly, we'd watch film maybe when we lost 2 or 3 in a row. Before that, it was all just quick clips before the game to get ready for the next opponent. Rick actually loves his film. I mean, literally, we'd watch for an opponent just in a regular season. We watch probably 3 or 4 times. We watch the opponent. So, which is just, that's his way of preparing us to play. Nelly was a lot different back in the days. Nelly was not a fan of film. He didn't really like it himself.
So
Nelly would mess up every name. It was the Nelly film sessions were classic too.
I've always thought it's nature versus nurture. Would you have become the player you are anyway, no matter who your coach was? I don't know, but I feel like Nelson was great for you. He, you know, first of all, you were his guy, so he was going to give you a little more slack.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he envisioned what's going on in the NBA now.
Yeah.
Like, he envisioned 7-footers at the 3-point line. This hybrid player, or what Golden State is now, I feel like he saw that and never just had the right pieces to
actually
create.
I totally agree. I always said it my entire career that he was great from my start. I think you can set anybody up to fail, no matter how skilled he is, if you're in the wrong position or wear somebody down or drain him mentally and get on him every day. And I think you can pretty much make everybody look normal. So, but he was big for me my first year, and always gave me confidence and let me play my game and let me spread the floor and didn't try to bulk me up and make me a center. You know, he saw that a lot of the game was going away from all the one-on-one. It was more in the movement, spreading the floor, pick and roll type game instead of, you know, the 5-10 second back downs we had back in the day. So I think he saw that coming, and I fit in perfect into his system for sure.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
Stick it up your tailpipe.
I hate you guys. We do still have a trouble spot in Dallas on 635, this report of service.
Seriously.
Oh, my God. Stop. I'm never going to make it through this.
Through the traffic.
Okay. Westbound 635 approaching 35. Stemmons still have that multi-vehicle accident blocking the 3 left lanes. Corby, stop it. You're slow from 75. Halton City, 121 northbound at Minas Drive. Multi-vehicle accident is now blocking the 2 left lanes. You're slow from Beach Street. Westbound I-30 at Cherry Lane. We have an accident on the end of the on-ramp. You're slow from 35W in Bedford.
You're sexy.
Stop it. 183 eastbound at Central. We have an accident blocking the right lane. You're slow from Brown Trail.
You work for the service. IRS.
For Service King Collision Repair, I'm good. Alexis with the ticket. Stick it up your tailpipe traffic.
Radio. Because they're CPO3, they're all interesting characters.
What about him?
CPO3?
Yeah.
That's not a real thing.
No, it's not.
CP30.
No, neither is that. You're still off. And on Star Wars Day, too. Mm.
Yeah. May the four be with you.
No.
May the fourth.
So close.
Oh, my.
Mike.
Oh, man. You're still just a little...
sick?
Well, he's kind of like our...
Get off the sick.
The guy that goes to a special class, you know, in school.
Mm-hmm.
He's that Star Wars fan. Yeah.
And I'm a little loopy today.
Yeah, of course may the four be with you. Yes, we all have the four.
The very best of the worst.
Radio.
Pope facts. Okay, is that the most hipster vehicle you can have? Because there's hipsters out there with like a hearse and like an old ambulance. And I just want to out hipster the hipsters. And I want a f***ing Pope mobile. You get that?
What happened?
You didn't hear what I just said? You got it?
What did you say?
Just F.
You did?
I want a blanking Pope mobile. You got it? Are you sure?
Casual F-bomb Pope talk.
Actually, I think you killed it.
Did I? Don't even know if this button works.
Yeah, it started blinking in here before I even touched it, but I pushed it just in case.
And you didn't even hear it.
No, I heard it. I jumped immediately, but you were already on top of it.
And I said, I want a blanking Pope moment.
What is wrong with you during
Pope
talk?
Dude, my hands are shaking. Boom. That was the worst. We've slipped an S in before, but oh my good. I'm having a rough week, Cash.
When radio is left out in the sun way too long, it's Rotten Radio on the Ticket. We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Maybe. Anyway, so after 14 hours of sleep, what would you guys do? Would you now stay up all day and then go to bed tonight and try to get on this schedule? Or would you take a nap after the show?
I'd just try to get on your normal schedule. Try to take a nap after the show and do what we normally do in California.
Yes, listen to your body. That's what I do. And I always end up rubbing one out.
5:47 on the Ticket. What's going on in the Mavericks front office next?
Charter TV presents...
Good Lord, that was line of the week, and now you're playing it like it's an emergency break.
I didn't hear Craig laugh as if it was line of the week.
Both of you distanced from what I consider one of the best jokes in Ticket history.
And that's what's wrong with you.
No, that was good. You guys act like I'm some sort of broadcast criminal.
That was hilarious, Gordon. Like we should have just all cracked up and slapped each other on the back.
I have the backdated broadcast efficiency meter for that segment.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was at 93%. George was at 93%. And you were at 27%.
Well, you're lucky I avoided a joke in scatter shooting today when you were talking about carjacking. I was going to use the line of, I've never stolen a vehicle, but in high school I was guilty of a lot of carjacking.
Now that's better.
That's better. Thank you.
That's funny. A lot better.
It popped in my head, but we were running late.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Rotten Radio.
And that was my time to shine.
Well, you did. You complained and bitched the whole way. Now give me the cord over there, Mike. And you know what? We may need help as far as which one it is.
All right, I've got it.
Okay, you're an engineer, are you not?
Yeah, it should be fine.
Okay. Well, what happened was I was so...
What the hell is going on over here?
I don't know.
Why are we being flooded out?
Oh, no.
What's all this water?
Where is that water coming from?
But get the... Oh, get that get that outlet. Plug.
Holy
get that,
shysters. Get that oh, my up. God.
Pick the outlet up, Corby.
I am.
Right there.
Son of a bitch.
Jeez.
Dude, what is going on?
We are being overtaken with water.
Oh, God. Is it... It's coming from behind us.
Is it a busted?
See, that's why I don't eat outside. No, that's not us. Well, they sure are. They need to chill.
God, how stupid are these people?
Right, you got any water? I'll be right back. We probably need to break. What time is it?
We have electronics and crap everywhere. What time is it?
It's 26.
Okay, I'll tell you what. When we come back, I want to play the audio because
we're not dead first.
Right. We confronted the waitress on Donovan's proclamation that black people don't eat outside.
That's pretty funny that Donovan references the, that's why I don't eat outside.
Right. Bad things can happen. And there was so much water, and this poor guy, He was back there because we're right behind the VIP tent area, and so all he was doing was a day off.
He's dumping out all their coolers.
No, he was just he had a hose.
Yeah.
Oh.
And a power pressure thing.
He probably had earbuds in his ears, and he's just singing.
Oh while yeah.
He's just washing out the tennis courts. Everything's so fun. This job is easy.
Boy, I laid into him.
You did?
But he walks
out.
He tries to be passive aggressive because he walks out behind the tent, puts his arms up, and says, "What the hell?
What are you doing?" Poor guy. He didn't know the hard line was on the air.
Yeah.
Did I hear the piano man himself ask a very important question in the middle of that?
I think he did.
You got any water?
You got any water?
Mino. Even if we would have died, he was going to play a drop.
Yeah, right,
of
yeah,
course.
Y'all are being electrocuted.
Panicking, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's...
You got any water? And I like Corby's... I wanted to hear more of that sentence of what happened is... was...
as the water's rising around him.
The very best of the worst. Rotten Radio.
As we do every morning after a Cowboys game, win or lose, we welcome the Cowboys owner and general manager to the program. Say good morning and happy holidays to Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Some holidays, huh?
Well, now you're still 11-2, but I know that probably was disappointing.
That is true. And last night was very nostalgic for me. Very nostalgic.
What is that?
Felt like 2015 all over again. I guess dreams do come to an end.
Well, no, not really. I mean, you got the most important games are ahead of you.
What was I thinking drafting that guy from Mississippi State?
Well, now he's name? Still Dak pretty good.
Yeah. Don't give up on him yet.
Dak looked bad all night there, Jody.
He did.
He did.
He had a tough night.
I have not seen that many bad passes since I tried to hook up with all them dancers and baby dolls last week. That's off the record.
Okay, we'll put that one off the record.
Candidly. No, that was her name, Candidly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But two interceptions. Yeah. Two interceptions. Dak was really channeling his inner Tony last night.
Oh.
Really channeling.
Don't rag on both of your quarterbacks.
No, I shouldn't rag on Tony. As a matter of fact, I was the one that was trying to call down to the sidelines to get him to get Garrett to put old Romo in there.
Mm, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and give this offense a spark. Yeah, absolutely. But old Garrett kept sending me the voicemail, and so it didn't work out for me. But I should have never let him get caller ID on that headset of his.
They have that?
He never takes my call anymore.
I think that's how
so
it works.
I've got a plan now. I'm going to get a shock collar to put on him during the game so he can't ignore me.
That would be funny.
But I just can't find one with enough range there, you know, because the one I used on Wade when I'd take him to the mall to keep him from going into the food court, right. It only has a range about 50 feet.
Okay.
I got to get a different one.
Well, I don't think you should be so discouraged. I mean, your team had won 11 straight, Cowboy record. You're still fine.
What have you done for me lately? That is the name of the game here. And I live and die with every win. Every loss, and this very disappointing for me, and I'm thinking about cutting the whole team. What do you think about them?
The whole team?
That would make a headline.
Hey, you know what our offense and Lucky Whitehead have in common? Neither of them showed up for the game last night. Dez, did you see what a horrible night Dez had?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rough.
You know, and he had a whole bad game in there at the end. He could have done a little something for us, and we had the chance there when Dez caught that pass. Would have been a first down, keep us alive. But then Dez held on to that ball about as well as he held on to that pet monkey. And he let it go, and that's it.
That was it, pretty much.
Now he got that ball bouncing around in the wild along with his pet monkey. Around wild in them Trinity River bottoms.
He can't control either one.
And I was so distracted while watching that game, so distracted by Ben McAdoo's weird mustache and haircut. What's going on there?
We're not sure what to call that.
Looks like they yanked him right out of a cubicle that was surrounded with Star Wars action figures where he writes computer code all day. Told him to coach.
He doesn't look like an NFL head coach for sure.
Well, I'm just excited that Highland Park is in the state championship game.
That's right.
How about that?
Your grandson led him there.
That's right. My grandson, Non Spaulding, is the Tony Romo of that team. And Non Spaulding is going to bring our family another non-Jimmy-related Super Bowl. So thank God for grandkids. My kids were in large part disappointment, except Charlotte Bridges.
Right.
The other two or however many I got, they're all disappointments, but my grandkids are making up for them.
You have two sons that are just fine.
Yeah, well, I don't know that they're my sons.
Oh, come on.
Well, look at them. There's no way they could come from my loins. That one that plays rowdy. As a matter of fact, I'm running them around right now. I got to get these kids. I'm taking them up to the Gaylord Texan for that holiday display.
Oh, yeah, that ice display?
Yeah, so I've got to get them up there because Jean roped me into taking them because, you know, she's always sleeping it off till noon.
Stop it.
So I got to run them around.
Stop that.
Daddy, can I get a puppy for Christmas?
No. You killed the last one before we hit New Year.
Couldn't help it, Daddy. I didn't know my own strength.
You big dummy. You're getting English lessons for Christmas one more time.
And I want Fanny to bring me girly magazines so I can rub my pants on the arm of the couch and feel good some more.
You disgust me.
All right.
He disgusts me. I got to go. He spilled his goldfish all over the back seat.
All right. Come on. We'll see you. There goes Jerry.
Radio. It was crazy, but it didn't have any effect on what was going on because Dirk at times defensively, and I love him. That's my favorite basketball player of all time. But it's like he had cement in his shoes out there trying to guard. Whoa. Cement. Cement. That's what I said. Cement.
That's Nike's new product.
What did you guys hear?
Cement. Why would he have that in his shoes?
I just want to know what the guys back there thought they heard.
Yeah, I thought
we'll hear it again Friday morning at 7:50.
Really?
Like, that's the new take on the goldfish in the shoes? Is like, check these out.
That's awful. Why would that slow him down?
Well, also,
that's
maybe,
in his shoe.
He might also be really tired if it was like his own from before.
Cement.
Anyways, so, we saw what we thought we'd see yesterday, right? For most of the game.
All right, so Jared, do we have it isolated in what Donovan said?
But it's like he had cement in his shoes.
Yeah, I didn't hear cement tea in there.
No.
But it's like he had cement in his shoes.
Yeah, that's a strange thing to have in your shoes if you're playing basketball.
The very best of the worst.
Radio.
7:30 tonight, you got the postgame show with Follow. That'll be fun. We'll see how Rondo meshes into this offense. It's 10:27 on the Shake Joint as we fill in for Norm. Norm's out sick. He could be back tomorrow. But coming up next, it's Shake Joint News.
Actually, it's coming up next, it's David Moore.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Station. This is the ticket.
What did you say?
The ticket.
He was pretty casually going into it. We got Follow, you know, good to see him. We got Rondo, and you know, we're going to do news and something next.
Yeah.
Sean's not responding.
I want my first win. I've never won.
You've never won.
I want that trophy.
No, I haven't.
E-break. What's an e-break?
What just happened here?
I don't know. Let's hear it one more time.
7:30 tonight, you got the postgame show with Follow. That'll be fun. We'll see how Rondo meshes into this offense. It's 10:27 on the Shake Joint as we fill in for Norm. Norm's out sick. He could be back tomorrow. Coming up next, it's Shake Joint News.
Actually, it's coming up next, it's David Moore.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Station. This is the ticket.
So seamless, though. The save by Jake.
Boy. And don't you hate that, too, when you think you've pretty much nailed it? You're just casually talking. You're doing fine. And
you look
then,
down at your run sheet.
Yeah, and then that happens.
Look at the wrong thing.
I know your pain. I feel your pain, Sean.
Rotten Radio.
Folks, we'd like to invite you to watch Chevy Hometown Kids every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Southwest, where it's not about the score. It's about the experience. That man's having quite an experience with the penis. No, I'm done with that one. Give me some more.
Wow.
So the Rangers come to bat here in the bottom of the fourth, inning, trailing 4-2.
I didn't hear a T in there, did you?
Wow.
You have it isolated, Jer?
No, I didn't get that.
Not yet.
Man okay. is having yeah. quite an experience that. There.
Let's hear that one more time.
Folks, we'd like to invite you to watch Chevy Hometown Kids every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Southwest, where it's not about the score, it's about the experience. That man's having quite an experience with the penis. You know, I'm done with that one. Give me some more. Well, the Rangers come to bat here in the bottom of the fourth inning, trailing 4-2.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
From his sparsely populated scalp. And don't forget the soon-to-be collector's item, Mike Reiner Chia Pet. Watch his smooth upper lip grow into a giant graying porn star mustache and his Chia Brillo pad burst out of his jean shorts. Be careful when adding water, as this Chia Pet tends to leak around the groin and buttocks. Just like the real Mike Reiner. Be sure and complete your collection with the Friendly Cobra Chia. With its exclusive hydroponic growing system. The Cobra Chia comes in three exciting models. The Schwag Chia, the Mexican Sensimilia Chia, and the highly potent Kind Bud Chia. Pick the one that best suits your concert-going needs. Fire it up and smoke out, kids. These hardline Chia Pets make swell gifts and are fun for the entire family. So pick one up today. It's Hardline Chia Pets.
Only from Has-Been Toys.
Radio. You always feel like you're a kid in the room and your parents are fighting, you know, and you feel uncomfortable about being there. Well, they've been having a contest for Petty Tickets, Tom Petty Tickets, and they bring on a couple people and they try to name that Petty tune. Well, Danny unfortunately let the same competitor on for the second straight day, and all hell broke loose.
On our phone now, Cobra, let us speak with Becky Norton of Frisco, who I think was a contestant in this thing yesterday.
What the hell?
I surely was.
Oh, she was? Danny? Well, I can remember. All right.
God.
What are you doing?
I'm stalking. I want the ticket.
Too bad. See you later. Let's go with line one.
He hung up on her. Yeah, she shouldn't be allowed again.
No.
God, Danny.
I didn't write her name down, dude. Sorry.
Wow. Can you believe that?
No.
Is that good producing?
It's no, awful. It's terrible. Will you freaking move on? Jesus.
He's just mad at himself. He's taking it out on you.
Yeah, right. He is mad at himself.
It's about me.
All right, who do we have in place of Becky? Danny?
I don't know.
Hi there. What's up?
Line
Hi there.
One.
What's going on, line one?
Nothing. What's going on, guys?
What's your name?
Robert.
All right, I can't take any more of that.
Yeah, what Danny pulled the e-brake by letting the same girl on 2 days in a row.
I think he's lost interest from when they leave the studio and he's left there just to surf the net and talk to groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's often ugly.
They do so much yelling on that show.
I know.
No, it just makes me so tense.
And it starts off by Corby going, "What the hell?"
Shock.
After shock.
After shock.
After shock.
After shock.
After shock.
Warning.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio. Is the glass half full or half empty? Or maybe it's broken.
Maybe it's not a glass at all.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio is in the air.
Manager's choice. And you'll get that on Friday.
Manager's
damn,
choice.
Double damn.
Oh, my gosh,
boy,
Junior. Here. Oh, no.
They go on top of it or just below it?
Not sure.
We're okay.
Oh, no. We've had a massive spillage here in the studio.
Yeah, play some interlude music.
Interlude here.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear
gosh,
Lord.
Oh, no.
It's hit all of the keyboards.
Paper towels, please.
Hang on. Can we get some more?
We spilled probably 3 gallons of water in here.
Golly.
Gosh, dog, Junior. Interrupted a whole broadcast day.
Okay, continue. I'll just wipe up.
Well, no, it's all over in this. It's all in this electrical.
Oh, it's in the electrical. We're going to get electrocuted.
And maybe we come back.
We have another roll of towels.
Is this why they tell us not to drink liquids in here?
Right.
That is so...
Oh,
that
Jared, that scared the hell out of me.
It's the final countdown.
Wow.
All right, this goes on for like 2.5 minutes.
It was just water, by the way, for anybody wondering.
Why is it white?
You can't get electrocuted with water.
A major market radio station.
Right. The destruction is
unbelievable. If you tuned in right in the middle of that, what mayhem?
What would you think?
That song going on in the background?
I'm very sorry about that. Radio. George told us about the new show, Fourth and Long, the Michael Irvin reality show. And George said it was the funniest show that he had ever seen. Even though it's not supposed to be a funny show. Well, joining us now on the ticket hotline to defend his reality show is the former Cowboys wide receiver, the Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. What you got ragging on my show?
Well, you know, there were just some funny elements to it, I guess.
Well, I called up here this morning to defend my show.
Okay. Yeah. Well, your radio show, right?
No, there's no defending that.
Oh, okay, so you...
That show failed.
You did call to defend the TV show.
Yeah, that show failed. T-H-A-A-L-D. Failed.
I don't know that's how you spell it, but...
No, I called up to defend Fulton Long.
Okay.
That show is very dear to me. Hold on, my starter's stuck. No, I got some guys. I got some guys that are going to back me up on this.
Oh, okay.
And it's a good show. And it's a show that you ought to watch because you're a football fan.
Right.
I know you're a football fan. You ought to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
First up to defend my show for the law, Coach Joe.
Coach Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, we have Coach Joe on
Coach
the line.
Joe, you're online. I'm here. There he is, Coach Joe.
Now, he's also on the show with you, Michael. You, Coach That's Joe, right. and Bill Bates.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you why I did this show, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been basically unemployed for 10 years. couldn't hold down a job in the Arena League. Fucking working for the Raiders was a good idea at the time. Well, I worked in the fasteners department at Home Depot with Lincoln Coleman for a while. Then I picked up the odd carpentry jobs here and there. But finally, I get on Michael's show, and with this type of show, that's a show that's different.
That's right.
The show. I think it's important to have on former special teams coaches that you can barely understand because he sounds like he has mashed potatoes in his mouth.
Okay. So it's a paycheck for you.
It's a paycheck. Yeah. Certainly a failed show. It's not going to go anywhere.
God.
Pretty much farce. Thank you, Michael, for having me on there. No problem, Coach Show. Anytime.
Well, Michael, he was just ripping the show.
No. No, he was backing it up.
Oh, okay.
Because he is on the show for long.
Right.
Now, I got someone else who's going to back up my show.
Mm-hmm.
My show today on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little higher up than Coach Show.
I'm not really understanding all of this, but...
In fact, he hired Coach Joe.
He hired Coach Joe?
Yeah, and he's hired Dan Coach Joe.
Dan Coach Joe?
Yeah. That's Jerry Jones.
Oh, Jerry is with us on the
line. Jones. Jerry, speak to me.
Dan,
Jerry.
Now, we heard Jerry on the show the other night. He's already made an appearance.
Yeah, he has. He was good. He was a good actor.
Well, Michael, it's certainly good to be on with you and to talk about this very impressive show. What's the name of it again?
Fourth and Long.
Fourth and Long?
Fourth and Long.
Huh. Well, let's be very candid as well as up front.
Yeah.
This show is the biggest abortion since Roe v. Wade.
Whoa! Whoa! That's harsh.
Jerry!
I caught it the other night on my TiVo. And I'm telling you, it's more entertaining to watch surveillance footage of a parking lot than watching the show. But I'm doing it as a favor to you. Michael, a very positive favor.
I appreciate that.
And, also because I just can't quite let go of the 90s Cowboys. I'm obsessed with that era.
Me neither.
It's the last time that we actually won something, as you know.
Right.
It also helps me promote the new stadium.
Which,
by the way, good seats, still available for a very good price. Please make offer.
almost for free.
Oh, wow.
Go to Cowboy Highline. And the stadium, very nice. We've even put in a boat slip for Tony Romo.
Oh, Michael liked that.
Why does it sound like the devil's laughing?
You funny, Jerry. You've all been funny.
Didn't catch a word of it. We're all really looking forward to the Big Jim Strait concert.
No, I think that's George Strait.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
He's very popular with all the, the skateboard teens and
I don't know.
Whatever kind of music he plays.
More like white people with cowboy hats. Did you watch that Jim Strait?
But we're very excited about the stadium, and, of course, it costs more than expected. In about 3 months, I predict I'll be wearing a barrel and having a Will Work food sign on the side of Stanford.
Well, let's hope not, Jerry.
We certainly overbuilt, but we're excited about it, and I'm just glad I got to come on here and talk about the stadium, and not so much glad that I had to come on here and talk about Michael Irvin's next failed endeavor.
Hey, I appreciate that, Jerry.
Well, appreciate it.
No problem.
Let me say this before I go.
Mm-hmm.
Junior Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You like football.
I like football, yes.
You love football.
Yep.
But you could not play in Dallas. You would be cut.
I've been cut.
Oh,
God. Wait, you got cut? I got cut by Michael Irvin.
No, with the dramatic
just like
music
on the show.
And everything.
Man.
But I'm not even on the show.
No, you're never going to play in Dallas.
When radio spoils, it's rotten. On Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
In the game, playing as Matt Pinto tells the listening audience and his broadcast partner, Bob Ortegal. But apparently Bob wasn't listening. He was just hell-bent on getting this medical update in on Dirk.
Nowitzki's back. Spin lob to Stackhouse. Swatted out of there by Prisbilla. Three-point game as Stoudemire hit the technical. And the crowd is aroused now at the Rose Garden.
Folks, we have just been informed that Dirk Nowitzki has a sore right ankle. We do not know whether he'll be back or not.
He's on the floor, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just handed that slip. I was reading that. He's not limping at all, is he?
Well, he just scored, so he looks okay since re-entering.
I just read that.
Oh, poor Bob.
That's greatness.
Oh, man, I don't like funny. It when Matt Pinto says the crowd is aroused.
Yeah,
yeah.
It bothers me a little bit, too.
What can be a greeting?
What can be a greeting?
Or it can mean goodbye.
Or it can mean goodbye.
It makes you turn your head or even blink both of your eyes. The baby arm.
The baby arm.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can, 'cause it's here to bring some love and make the world feel good.
Make the world feel good.
Who can give a high five?
Who can give a high five?
But cannot make a fist.
But cannot make a fist.
Who can wear a Mickey Mouse watch on his little wrist? The baby arm.
The baby arm.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can, 'cause he's here to spread some love and make the world feel good.
Make the world feel good.
The baby arm's small, kind of like it all. So be careful not to nick it.
Protesters know where to pick it. Exclusively on The Ticket. Who can look giant?
Who can look giant?
Next to a toothpick.
Next to a toothpick.
Who has been a nickname for Liam Neeson's stick? The baby arm.
The baby arm.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can.
The baby arm can, 'cause he's here to spread some love and make the world feel good.
Make the world
feel good. Rotten Radio.
Hey, Cooter, did you hear about all
all the stuff?
Why, no, Jake. What about all the stuff?
Well, it appears that the Democrats are trying to pull a fast one on all us good folks who didn't go to Ivy League schools.
How so, Jake?
Well, their leading candidate is a black guy named, get this, Barack Hussein Obama.
Hussein Obama? Isn't that the terrorist we just defeated in our continued commitment to the war on terror?
You bet, Cooter. And now the Democrats want us to vote for him.
Well, that's dadgum insane. I'm not going to be voting for any old black terrorist, even if he does wear a flag lapel pin.
That's just the thing, Cooter. He don't even wear a flag lapel pin. Plus, he wants to meet with Iran.
What? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, Jake.
I know. Iran is a terrorist country.
No, I mean every president since George Washington has worn a flag lapel pin. And this guy's so uppity, he won't wear what Jesus asked us to in the Bible.
You're telling me. That's why I'm going to vote for old John McCain. He was a prisoner of war, so he knows a little something about battling hip-hop Arabs who want to break into our houses and steal our freedom and TVs.
Tell me more about this John McCain. Does he wear a flag lapel pin and cling to important things like guns and religion?
You bet, Cooter.
And is he a common man who grew up driving a truck in the Republican South?
You know it.
Well, he sounds like the guy for me. I want a president who is not so black and hateful of our freedom.
Wow.
Where do I vote?
That's what I wanted to hear, Cooter. Let's go drink and shoot some stop signs.
Now that's something you won't learn at Harvard.
Paid for by the Swift Folk veterans still like John McCain.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio.
This is crap.
Vacation Jarrett said that he desired more representatives or reps.
I thought it was for repetition.
Yeah.
He performed this informing by tastefully utilizing the F word 43 times in under 1 minute.
Wow.
Tastefully?
The word mother often preceded the form of this so-called F word. Keyshawn began to get very angry.
Uh-oh. Did he?
Antonio himself was not only mad, but was also angry.
Mm-hmm.
But his anger gave him superhuman strength.
How so?
Well, the observant tuna was watching all this from his love swing high in an observation tower.
Gosh.
He watches practice from a love swing?
No.
Yes, it is there where he is administered his high colonics and his sensual touching.
Gosh.
So after the tuna sees this, he orders his pygmies to firemen carry him out onto the field. He did this so he could confront this tuna-needed situation.
Right.
Well, as Keyshawn and Antonio struggled to undress each other in their pugilism, the tuna had his abdomen loaded into a wheelbarrow so he could push close to the warring receivers. Stop that fighting right now, bellowed the tuna from underneath his gelatinous rolls of fat.
Come on.
Antonio retorted, but tuna, you are the old man, and I am a young and cocky receiver. Mm-hmm. I desire these representatives in camp that is many.
In other words, he wanted a lot of reps.
This angered the bulbous tuna.
Uh-oh.
He said, good Bryant, surely you're not challenging me, for you know I have the power to destroy you and lay waste to your family.
Whoa, oh, really? Man.
The tuna then pointed down to his fupa lying there quivering in the barrel of the wheelbarrow. Antonio was unfazed by the threat of Parcells using his FUPA powers, and he proceeded to throw his jersey in the face head of the giant sea creature.
Oh, no.
Sea creature.
Parcells told him to stop it, and then he was being a jerk, except he used the word that rhymes with bunt.
Whoa,
oh, gosh.
Okay, thanks for that insight.
Antonio did not stop throwing the clothing, however. First it was the jersey, then the pants, then the underwear, and then the shirts and vests and chapeaus and bandanas. And camouflage.
Camouflage?
Why was he so heavily clothed?
The tuna belly fat in the wheelbarrow began to glow bright red as this armoire full of clothes hit the tuna in the face repeatedly.
Oh, gosh.
Other players gathered round in a circle as the FUPA began to glow as red as E.T.'s heart with anger. Then, this is so horrible, I can barely speak.
This is a deep throat informant telling us what happened between Bryant and Parcells. Can you continue?
Then, as all the players were gathered round in a circle in stunned silence, they looked down into the wheelbarrow, and the glowing FUPA split open, and a fire consumed Antonio Bryant and melted his face.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
It was as if the wrath of God was unleashed.
Shocking.
The lesson is to never mess with the tuna.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
The tuna.
What?
What, George?
You said tuna in a funny way.
This is very hard for him to get through this.
I'm sorry.
I don't appreciate you
I'm sorry.
Fun of my tragedies.
I'm sorry. Deep.
No funeral.
Pardon me? Oh my gosh.
That was unnecessary.
Your comment pushed him over the edge,
no,
George.
It didn't. That was just a sound effect.
You're indirectly responsible for whatever happened in that.
It's just a
room.
This could be extremely damaging.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Rotten Radio. Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
This is George Dernham, who
no,
is...
No, that's you.
George Dunham.
Oh, yeah, that is Dunham.
Or
okay.
You dress up, it's Joyce Durham.
All right, we were talking about Jerry Jones, one of our Cowboys segments this week, and the phrase I was trying to say was different take. A different take. That's what I was trying to get to.
He's never seen bad chemistry wreck a winning team.
He's never had a year like this.
But he told us that this year.
Yeah, I know. But I wonder if he has a... You know, Jerry's changed his mind before, and I wonder if he has a different taste...
Whoa.
What? take on it.
Whoa.
Wonder if he has what?
What?
A different take on it now after going through this season. Sometimes I short circuit, okay? That was just a short circuit. Let's all just move on and pretend like I didn't say that.
It's just an odd Freudian slip.
I don't know.
It's really strange.
It's weird. Let's just forget it happened. This is all just move on. I don't know what to tell you.
So earlier in the show, you would not reference the Justin Timberlake Saturday Night Live bit in a box, but here you would. Kind of.
Interesting.
I didn't mean to. I certainly didn't mean to. So those are your three candidates. Rhines.
Think of the possibilities to fill in the blank after those first two words.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of the more unfortunate pronunciations of different take I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Sometimes
unusual
I can't talk.
One, too.
Sometimes I can't talk.
Rotten Radio.
Cowboys have been getting some criticism this week after an ugly win over the Bengals. And joining us now, open the door and let this gentleman in.
He's all right, well, be nice to him this time, though.
I always am. He's got his hands full.
Put him on the spot.
He is a professor of psychology at the University of Texas at Dallas, and he is our sports psychologist, Dr. Carlton Maxwell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Craig.
How are you?
Doing well.
Here goes the coffee sip.
Ah.
Have a sip of my morning coffee.
Good coffee, huh?
It's excellent coffee.
Well, you are a noted author, a prolific author. You've now authored over 2,800 books, and I know you've brought several for us this morning to talk about the cowboys and what they're dealing with.
I have. I have many quick turnaround books. You know, I'm able to publish very quickly based on world events and sporting events and things such as that. Well, you know the book Throw Me the Damn Ball by Keyshawn Johnson?
Uh-huh.
Which I wrote the epilogue to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, T.O. commissioned me to write a book with him. It's called Throw Me the MF and Ball, You Freaking Undrafted Quarterback by T.O. Owens.
Oh, really?
He just came out with this.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Got
the title?
Two books out at once right now.
Yes, he also the Getting Fit, I believe, Finding Fitness. Mm-hmm. That's what he had. Also, I have this one here. This is a biography of T.O. Owens. This is highly unauthorized.
Mm-hmm.
It's called T.O. Owens, 25 Million Reasons Don't Prevent a Nut from Going Haywire by Carlton Maxwell and Kim Etheridge. Former
oh, that is.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
See why it's highly unauthorized.
And lots of interest in Tony Romo. People love this handsome young quarterback.
Sure.
He's so athletic and handsome and beautiful.
You sound sound like you like him
quite a bit. He's come out with this book, and I've just published it for him. It's called Losing the Will to Live, How to Date Jessica and Deal with T.O. in the Same Season. It's kind of a how-to guide, in case you ever find yourself in that
Losing the Will to Live
position.
Huh?
He may be the only one who ever finds himself in that position, but...
And we all love books like this. These are very easy reads. This is called Let the Cowboys Ride and Other Awkward, Unmotivating Catchphrases That Failed to Catch On by Wade Phillips.
Come on.
What does that sound? I don't, from the Northeast.
It's just a sound effect we have.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
And this is great. A lot of people very interested in Wade Phillips, you know. He's only been here for a year and a half.
Year.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Well, he has now released his autobiography called I Like Sandwiches. And there are not too many words in it. It's mainly a collection of hand-drawn pictures of his favorite sandwiches.
Doesn't sound like an interesting book.
Very crude.
There's a lot of pictures in there.
Yes, and he's drawn a smiley face on all ham sandwiches, so I don't know if that's his favorite.
I guess so.
And he draws eyes on some of them. I don't know. Anyway, then here is a book. This is an odd one, okay? Very heavy book.
Yeah.
See, they're very heavy. This is an odd one. I think this is going to be a bestseller. It's a book by Pac-Man Jones and Troy Dungan called Making It Rain, Our Different Takes.
No way!
The odd couple, kind of.
Yes, very odd couple. And one final cowboy book.
Okay.
And I knew that a lot of cowboy fans will want to collect these because I think they will appreciate over time.
The what?
They will appreciate over time.
What's he saying?
I think he's appreciate?
Yes.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
A final cowboy book. I Fart When I Punt by Matt McBriar. It's I'm sure the purpose of this book. Forward by Mitch Hoops. So, and then I brought some other books that are not sports related, but some of them have some sports names in them.
Okay.
Here's a book by Mark Cuban called Forget the Bailout, Put Me Back on Dancing with the Stars.
Financial book? I guess?
Yeah, it's a financial book.
Okay.
It's kind of about the bailout and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And here's a family planning book. I know a lot of people are interested in family planning these days.
Sure, I guess.
It's a family planning book by Sarah Palin called After the Fifth Kid, It's Time to Block the Entrance to the Cave.
Oh, and, well, she's written a book, has she?
I don't think that is authorized.
And here's one by Todd Palin, who is her husband.
Uh-huh.
It's called I Can't Decide What I Ride More Often, a Snowmobile or Sarah Palin.
Oh, God.
Oh,
why would he write that book about his wife? I understand, Dr. Maxwell, you're a big Sarah Palin supporter.
She and I see differently on some issues, but I like to support my fellow women.
I'm sorry?
I mean, I like to support...
Women?
A woman, yes.
What issues do you guys differ on?
Oh, certain definitions of traditional words that I think should be opened up to all people.
Now, your companion that you brought with you this morning, I'm looking
at...
He looks very uncomfortable as you're talking about this subject. I'm going to take a guess here. Are you talking about gay rights?
There you go.
I'm just asking.
Why do you have to bring up all these things whenever I'm around?
Yeah, I don't know.
It offends me. What are you trying to insinuate, sir?
Well, I'm just... Since you divorced your wife a couple of years ago,
That's none of your business.
Right. That's what I've always said.
I guess you're
right. There were certain things that made that marriage untenable, okay? I'm never coming back here again, bitch!
Well, Dr. Maxwell, I'm sorry.
You did it again. Infuriated Dr. Maxwell.
Smell him a place up with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Particularly well going into the playoffs, does that matter? Well, I never got a chance to ask that particular question. And then when I did finally ask the question, listen to the confusing response. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Very well. How are you?
Doing good.
That's good.
Hey, did it matter to you, going back to your playing days, did it matter
never.
To you?
Never. I never even thought about it.
Uncomfortable after.
Things have changed from that regard, and surely you match up
what regard?
Well against some teams and not against other teams, but yeah, all that I was ever concerned about was where my game was and where the team's game was going into the playoffs, and... You know, let's face it, the Lakers are hot right now.
Listen to this
part. Would be a tough draw in the first round for anybody. So it's not surprising that teams were trying to avoid them.
No, I was going to ask, did it matter how you were playing going in?
Right, absolutely. Surely that's correct.
But, I mean, when you were a player, did it matter?
What?
Rotten Radio.
We got to know him for years on television. It's Bob Ortegal. Hello, Bob.
Good to talk to you guys.
Hey, Bob.
Wow.
Now, you're always very over the top and very excited about the Mavericks. Are you still excited after game one?
These Mavericks are great. They're going to win everything. The title, the Super Bowl, abortion rights. Wow.
Well, they didn't get off to a very good start. That was an awful second
half. Doesn't matter. I'm enthusiastic about everything about the Mavericks. Look at me. I'm wearing my Maverick suit. Oh, you can't see me, can you?
No, we can't.
Wow. Looks like the city of New Orleans took a page out of the Dallas Stars playbook. They called for a blackout. Wow, the whole town.
Golly, Bob.
One of them got Katrina the other night, didn't they? Wow.
I don't know about
that. I'm not known for being PC. Wow.
No, you're not.
Is that why you're not on TV anymore? What happened there?
I don't know, but I can't believe I've been demoted from the radio broadcast to the radio broadcast. From the TV broadcast. You know how much money I spent to bronze my skin?
To look good on TV?
And to get these big old upside-down tombstones installed as teeth? My teeth were blinding white on television. Perfect. I still wear my Zoot suit in hopes that they'll show me on the screen for a few minutes.
Well, this is Bob Ortegal. Now, in the past, you've had some very controversial things to say in some of your nicknames when you called Eduardo Najera a Mexican jumping bean. A lot of people thought that went too far, so have you toned down your nicknames?
No, I still have nicknames for players. That's my signature, my hallmark.
like what?
Well, like J.J. Barea is my little chalupa.
I've never heard you call him that. What about Dirk?
Dirk Commissar. Don't turn around a wah-wah. Commissar's in town a wah-wah.
What about Josh Howard?
Black number one.
Oh, my God.
Bob. You couldn't come up with anything more creative than that.
What about Jason Terry?
Black number two.
All right, so I guess you're going to tell us Eric Dampier is black number three?
Oh, no. That would be offensive. I call him the big disappointment. I have nicknames for everyone in the Mavs organization.
Yeah, like you have one for Cuban?
Yeah, the flamboyant Frankenstein. Wow!
What about the other broadcasters like, say, Brad Davis?
The backstabbing son of a bitch.
Oh, come on.
Put your back on TV. Come on. No one listens to this crap. Radio is dead. It's not existent. I'm playing with the balls right now. I'm a girl at night. I love pot.
Boy, Bob was taking that loss hard.
Well, I guess so.
He was way over the top.
It's Rotten Radio on the Ticket.
That's Smokin' Joe with What's New Ticket Chick. Now, I'm sure it'll sound a lot better, Joe, when you're actually up there with a band.
And music behind
it. Oh, yeah. Sure.
I think you ought to know how the song goes, Joe. Can you sing a little bit of it right now for us?
What's new, ticket chick? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, ticket chick? Whoa, 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 whoa. Ticket chick, ticket chick, you're a cutie. I love your booty and breast is too. I'll soon be rubbing those cute little ticket chick thighs. Uh-oh. Ticket chick, ticket chick, I love you. Yes, I do. You and those ticket chick thighs. Good.
Jeez, he is blasted.
It's Rotten Radio on the Ticket.
And we'll get back to the Ticket Top 10 in just a second, but we do want to remind you about Camp Bow Wow Barktoberfest this weekend, Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 at the Fort Wolf Dog Park, Beach Street at I-30 in Fort Worth. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Camp Bow Wow, Fina, Man's Best Friend, Munster Natural Dog Food, and Sneaky Pete's. Come on out, admission free. The Rant broadcasting live from 10 a.m. to noon. George Jub Jub, George and Craig, George of the Musers. Shut up, George Dunham. I'm sorry. Sorry, Justin. And Bob Stern will be on site from 10 a.m. to noon. Norm and Dan will be there from noon to two. So it's Camp Bow Wow Boktoberfest. Kill me now. From Fort Worth Dog Park and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, Now Sports.
Now Sports.
This could be extremely damaging.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Rotten Radio. When radio is left out in the sun way too long, it's rotten. Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
Does that pitch to Vaughn have an effect on the pitch that you threw to Sirhoff then with the bases loaded?
Is that what we're going to do? We're going to talk about every time? What, I lose my cool one time? We're going to talk about it? Huh? Is that what we're going to do? I threw one pitch, all right? I lost my cool one. We're going to talk about it? Huh? I busted my ass out there. I did every thing I can. You think I'm pissed? I'm pissed, all right? Right, I'm pissed. Right, I lost my cool because I did. I lost my cool. Are you happy? I lost it. And I just lost it again. I'm pissed. You're right, I'm pissed. That's my job out there. You get pissed when something happens in your job? That's my job. That's my living. I'm pissed. Right,
I'm
pissed. Right, I blew up. I don't give a what you write.
Rotten Radio.
Why can't I be like you, Jack?
Well, come on, I'll show you. Let's do it.
What?
I'll show you how. Come on.
Jack!
Oh, come
no,
on.
Jack! Come on. No! Wait, Jack!
Come on.
No, Jack, come I couldn't on. Possibly, Jack.
Watch closely.
That's disgusting!
All right, your turn. Pitiful. Get some leverage to it. Use your arms. Arc your neck. Now you see the range on that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go. Oh, that was better. You gotta work on it.
Really?
Get some body to it, you know? You gotta... God, look at that thing.
Stay back. Don't come any closer.
It's Rotten Radio on the Ticket.
It was a no-brainer win in the Homer Call of the Week. And if you were driving around last Saturday night and happened to turn on the Ticket just to wonder how SMU was doing, I hope you didn't have your volume up very loud in your car because you would have been screamed at by Craig Swan.
Here we go. Final play coming up with 3 seconds. 27-22. UAB leads SMU. The Mustangs at the 31 of UAB. They've got to throw it into the end zone.
Block up front, man. Block up front.
Four wide receivers. Romo in a shotgun. Looking left side towards the end zone. Bobby Chase is there. Touchdown.
Got it.
Touchdown.
Touchdown.
The Mustangs win.
Can we edit that part?
We have
a game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't believe it. Woo. Holy cow.
31-yard touchdown pass. Romo.
Can you believe it?
And the Mustangs pull off the upset. They snap a 14-game road losing streak with a
holy cow
27 win over
UAB. Nobody can believe that story.
Woo! Wow, what a play by Jared Romo.
Did they mic up a fan in the stands? No. That's the color commentator on the SMU football network.
Does he wear like a protective helmet or something up there, Ridge?
He might need to.
Rotten
Radio.
I won some big awards.
Yeah, you sure did.
Male Athlete of the Year.
Men's Golfer of the Year. Championship Performance of the Year.
Yep.
Come From Behind of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Although I thought that should have gone to Ron Jeremy, but I was happy to accept it. But...
Hardline, it's Rhines having the uncomfortable prospect of sneezing on the air.
You know, I didn't care if they won that game the other night, but I think any Cowboy... Oh, my gosh.
What's the matter?
I got to sneeze.
Oh, really? Let's carry that live.
Sorry.
Now, see, your buddy Jason helped you out. He turned you off.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate that. There may be another one coming here. They usually come in twos or threes. That's number two. There may be a third.
That's the first time I think I can ever remember you announcing a sneeze.
Well, I just kind of...
Pretty funny.
I got caught in that nether region where I had to do it.
You knew that sneeze was going to happen.
Yeah, it was going to happen. There was nothing I could do about it. But I don't think it was...
Oh, good God!
That's what it sounded like. I hadn't heard that.
That was funny.
It's, you know, it could almost sound vulgar if you took it another way, that something else sneaking up on him.
You can hear him kind of starting to slow down. He's trying to get a cowboy point out, but he realizes then, there's no way he's going to fight this off.
Oh, my God.
One more time, real quick.
Rotten Radio.
Adding to the confusion.
I am not an arsonist.
He's never a part of our visit with Wade Phillips, and yet...
I always
when
am.
When we're having technical difficulties, he has to go, Coach, you got me?
I do not do anything of that sort.
So listen to that, and basically this is what it would sound like if you had a party line at your house, because you hear about three different conversations going on at once. Morning, Wade. Are you with us?
Hello.
Hey, there we are. How are you doing?
Whoa. Hello.
Now we got you.
Okay. You got me.
Well, let's go back to...
Man, I want me, but you got me.
No, we do. We do. We want to talk to you. Let's go back to Sunday's game with the Patriots. We've been kicking it around here for a couple of days. Was the most disappointing thing for you as the coach is maybe that you didn't give him your best shot as far as, you know, executing and being in the right place at the right time and penalties and stuff like that?
No, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I think you said something about our best shot.
Yeah. Is that the most frustrating?
I can't hear you.
Can you hear us? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
We're not sponsoring them, are we?
What?
Well, I guess let me read.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me repeat the question and just say that what the most frustrating thing is that you didn't give them your best shot on Sunday.
What?
We don't need that. And you're like a... It's like blood in the water to a shark. He hears something going wrong on the air. Like, uh-oh. Let me perk up. What? Huh? Huh? Who said that? What?
Add to the confusion. I do not try to add confusion.
Oh, my God.
You have an oscillating fan in your hand, and you turn it over in the direction of the flame when it starts up.
Well,
and then you stop it from oscillating, so it's focused right there.
See, we get that flame really going.
Yeah, you are the arsonist.
I do not. My job is to try to create clarity on the radio.
Whatever.
It's confusion.
Gordo, when was this?
I think this was like right after Corby started working with the Hardline full time.
November 2000.
Okay, let's take a listen. Yeah, if you'd have done your work instead of making Chipotle runs.
How would that have saved time?
It just would have. You would have been focused.
We wouldn't have wasted 5 minutes talking about you going to get the damn burrito, and then we wouldn't have had to dump this guy into the next segment, you idiot.
What is your problem, fat ass? Gravy tits?
Don't make me say that.
God.
Boy. Expo, are you going to sit there and let that happen?
Well, I got dumped.
He knows how he screwed up. But you heard it.
The main function of my job is to make sure the spots get played. Corby's got a live spot and he's gone because he was hungry and needed to get a colon clogger.
A what?
Colon clogger.
I thought he said toilet clogger.
Sorry, that just slipped out.
Radio.
It's the Rangers' new groundskeeper here.
What is funny about that?
Nothing. Alistair, and I don't know who the other guy is with him. Hello, Gordon, can you give the guy your headset, please?
Come on. Okay.
This is Alistair.
I've seen him out there working on the field.
Alistair Toma. He is the Rangers' groundskeeper here in Port Charlotte. Hello.
Alistair Toma. I'm known as the British sod god, actually. And the Rangers have hired me for this Port Charlotte stadium gig where I address the field problems, the on-field problems, particularly with St. Augustine and Bermuda grass and other things that might grow there.
Well, it looks great. It looks good.
We've done a magnificent job. Look at the rolling hills of green lushness.
Yes.
Now, actually, I've been told I need to take out the heels that I've put in the outfield, but it is beautiful,
isn't
it?
That's what Johnny Oates has been complaining
about. The rolling hills, yes.
It is really pretty, but yeah, it probably didn't work.
But that is my job, the sod god for Port Charlotte. Actually, I've been having problems for the past 5 years in accomplishing my task of getting the field in perfect shape. I've hired, actually, an assistant, a friend of mine from the great Isle of Britain.
Looks like he suffered a head injury of some sort.
Yeah, what's wrong with your friend?
His name is Ian. He is my assistant. Ian actually has suffered quite a traumatic injury indeed.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, you don't look so good.
If you notice, when we put the top onto the field, on the baseball diamond proper, the infield, there are spikes that we use.
Big, nasty spikes.
That we use.
They're like 8 inches long.
We use to fasten it down into the actual earth.
Sod. The spikes hold the tarp on the field.
Yes, in case some sort of gust or gale might want to come along, and its intent is to take the tarp away.
That's right.
So Ian, actually 2 years ago here at Port Charlotte, was running around after we had the tarp down with a little horseplay, and Ian actually fell down and got a spike through his head.
I got better.
A spike went all the way through his head. We didn't think Ian would live very long, but he continued to hold on in critical condition with the necessary life support systems.
Wow.
When Ian finally came out of his coma and the spike wound had healed up the best it possibly could, Ian had no way to deal with the emotional trauma of having a spike through his
head.
So he wrote a song about it.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to hear it. It went to number 3 in Europe.
It went to number 3 on the British charts and made it to 14 in Dublin. This is Ian, my assistant to the sod god, singing Spike Through Me Head, his hit song. Here we go.
Spike Through Me Head. Spike through me head. I'm lucky that I didn't wind up dead. My face turned red and the blood was shed. I was running around the field and got a spike through me head.
Yes.
Oh, it's not very easy when it's time to be fed. You try eating with the spike in your head. Spike through me head. Spike through me head. I'm lucky that I didn't wind up dead. My face turned red and my blood was shed. Running around the field and got a spike through my head. Spike through me head. Spike through me head.
I didn't wind up dead.
Spike through me head. Spike through me head.
Got another verse.
Okay. It was very painful. I thought I was done. You try living with a spike through your tongue.
Spike through me head. Spike through me head. I'm lucky I didn't wind up dead.
My face turned red and my blood was shed. I was running around the field and got a spike through me head.
Yeah.
That song is actually all the rage in the bars and pubs in London. Thank you so much for letting us join you up here, Musers.
Thank you, Musers.
Well,
I have enjoyed it, and I know, Ian, it's meant a lot to him.
Yes.
It's hard to recover after you've had a spike through your head.
This could be extremely damaging.
You're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket's Rotten Radio. We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
Ilio now lives in Fort Lauderdale, but actually
We don't think that's correct. We think he vacations there. Where he lives is in the Victory Circle out at TMS because he spent more time there than he does in Florida.
Well, that's very kind of you guys. I really appreciate the intro. Just that one correction, instead of 23, it's 29.
29? Yeah,
you're taking away. I work too darn hard to win those wins, man. You take that away.
You know where that comes from? The first six were in cart. I should have said 29. You're exactly right.
Don't worry. It's all good. But it's. I work too darn hard to get those wins.
You gave me all my wins.
You know? Well, thank you very much for the intro. I really appreciate that. And you're right. I mean, Texas Motor Speedway. It's a phenomenal place. I really enjoy it. And it's probably the only place right now that I won four times. I had a lot of three times places, but only here I got four times. And well. I need to find out to get to the next step then.
what is it about Texas? Why the success out here?
I guess a good question. Over the years, it changed the surface, obviously. The track changed a little bit. And I guess it becoming challenging. And now they resurface again. They put a new. So maybe it would be a good thing again to bring it back. What I'm trying to say is I guess I'm adapting well for any kind of circumstances that occur. And when we have a pack race, when you have a no yellow race, or when we have a yellows and some strategies, so and that's why Texas is so fun because it's never the same. Every time you come back here, it's always something different.
You won season 5 of Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
As you travel around America. And go through the Chattanooga, Tennessee airport or wherever you're going.
Right.
Do you get recognized much more still for Dancing with the Stars than you do for being the star Indy driver in the world?
You know, that's a great, great question because a lot of people, and it's been 10 years. I mean, when I won the season 5 was in 2007. And people still remember the yellow outfit that I was using, the banana man, and they call me the banana man. I can't believe it. So it's incredible how people's computer is still updated on that. But it's 90%, I would say, it's a lot of people talking about Dancing with the Stars. I mean, understandable. Back then, we had about 20 to 25 million people watching every Monday and Tuesday. They didn't have other shows. Like the only show that they had back then was American Idol, which wasn't even the same time. So understand the reason that people still remember, which is fun. So now when you see kids about 10, 11 years old, and their parents say, "Hey, you won Dancing with the Stars." The kids are like, "I don't remember." So, well, you weren't born back then, so no worries. But it's a lot of fun to see people... you know, give me props on that. And I'm very proud of it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of winning that competition. And last year we had James Hinchcliffe. We finished second, which showed that IndyCar drivers, they not only can drive a car, but they can shake the booty
on national
television very well.
Maybe we need to say you have 30 wins now. Because
here
we
go.
Dancing with the Stars, I like that. That's
See,
what I'm saying.
Man.
I'm trying to help you out, man.
Thank you.
You still put the yellow suit on every now and then. And,
you know, the amazing thing is still fits.
All right.
So that's a good thing.
That's
I'm
always
still in good.
Good
shape. Yeah. But I kind of like people sometimes ask me if I still dancing. I dance with my daughter. That's it. That's the only thing I time I dance in. But I'm kind of like retired the dancing shoes, ballroom dancing shoes, which is okay.
I know the devotees of Dancing with the Stars understand how hard that is because you're being taken somewhat or often far out of your element. And physically, it is a very difficult time. Did Dancing with the Stars help you at all as a driver?
Well, it didn't help me in terms of my skills, but I think in my mind it did help a little bit, you know, because let's face it, as you just mentioned, it's completely outside of our clear zone. You start learning completely different things and listen to, you have a coach all of a sudden telling you what to do. And, you know, it's a testimony that when you're going out there to do something, and if you put your mind, hard work, and soul, you can do well. And I feel that was the lesson that I took from out there. And it says you still can learn from others. And today, in racing, yes, I use kind of like I have three other teammates, phenomenal talents, and I learn from them too. So it's something that you never stop learning in any circumstance at all. And that's another quote that a big idol of mine, which is or hero of mine, which is Mr. Mears, Rick Mears, which won four times the Indianapolis 500. He always say, "You only stop learning when you're 7 feet under the ground," and that's it. And I'm like, "All right, I got you. I got that point. So make sure that we keep learning right now." And I'm glad I take that lesson with me.
We have Elio Castroneves in studio with us now. Let's talk about that Indy 500. You placed second, and we had Takuma Sato in studio with us and talking about the race. And I'm interested to see your point of view because I asked the question when you're in that particular moment. Would you rather be in the lead trying to hold off someone or in second waiting to make your move to try to strike and try to get that victory? And I guess I want to pick your brain on that. As you're going around, are you kind of saying to yourself, all right, I'm in a perfect position. Just let me feel it out, wait it out so I can make my move and try to get this title.
Yeah, no, you were right. I mean, obviously, I would be in a better position staying in front. But when I had a chance to pass him three laps to go, it would be a really risky move because it was an outside turn one, and my tires were already overshot, and I think knowing Takuma Sato, he would not make it any easy for me to go in outside, and I feel that the conditions would have put me in a very risky way that I would not finish the race. So. When I back off a little bit and trying to get his draft again, I was like, perfect. It's going to be my last lap. I'm going to get his draft. It's going to be great. But, man, those Hondas were fast, man. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. My plan was right, but what's going on here? And as I start going turn four, I was like, man, I'm not close enough. This is not going to happen. Oh, my God. So it was a frustrating, disappointed situation. And I wish we'd have a little bit of more power to create at least, that battle. But in the end of the day, it was a great great race for the fans, obviously. Another great performance that my team, Penske, did. They gave me a phenomenal car. So we'll go back next year and then try again. But this time, I will eat more sushi. So to make sure that I get prepared for Takuma Sato. Oh.
Radio 1310, the tickets. Rotten Radio in the air.
Spicer spoke
right
this morning.
I mean, if you're in the press and you're looking up there and he walks out, isn't that the first thing you're thinking of is Melissa McCarthy?
So yeah, so I'm at the I'm on an elliptical watching that take place this morning.
God, oh, I work out.
What? How am I supposed to set it up?
I don't know. Just say I was watching it this morning.
Well,
yeah, just say I was watching. That's completely unnecessary information.
It is necessary.
Nobody cares what you were doing.
Okay,
we don't care that you were on an elliptical.
No. So then ask me this. What did
he
say, Corby?
To,
go ahead.
The coast.
What did he say, Corby?
Weekend.
I don't know what he effing said, Mike, because I was on an elliptical and the sound wasn't up.
Oh,
so
great.
There sets it up.
Let's hear about your golf game. Maybe show us some pictures of your kids. You're at it.
God.
Jeez.
Anyway.
When was the last time you played around?
I'm watching it.
What'd you shoot?
What'd you dream about last night?
As I'm watching it. It looked like there was no consternation from him toward the press, and I'm wondering if they ever asked him about it at all. But I didn't know because I wasn't listening because I couldn't.
I was blasting my glutes, bro!
That's why I set it up that way, you idiots.
Rotten Radio.
The Mavericks overcome a 20-point deficit, but Monte Ellis misses a driving layup to tie with 3 seconds left.
All right, can we hear a breakdown of that?
Does he say butt?
Yeah, because I think he had the word butt like three words later. So he's somehow skipped ahead to that.
So he turned Monte Ellis into butt.
Butt.
Hey, let's try to make that his new nickname. Hey, butt had a pretty good game last night.
Yeah, butt. Yeah, oh, butt.
Butt.
When Radio spoils. It's rotten.
We'd be on tomorrow with a Yahoodie to start the show. And by the way, we're very much hoping, JD's with us to start the show tomorrow.
Yes. That Let's or, hope. Let's yep. hope, 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 and hope some more.
That All right. oar's already in the water.
Ooh. Oar, right? Or. Okay. Okay. Or. Man, because that other thing, we'd have to call somebody.
Floating out. All right.
I told you not to get to the Draymond Green story yet.
All right. It's 10:50. This is the invasion.
The whore's in the water.
Why would he call John Daniels that? It did sound like he said that, didn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, Donovan, I took care of that problem last night. The whore's already in the water.
Taken care of. Here's Norm to defend himself as he
She'll never testify.
Tries to put on.
What was I nominated for?
For the phrase, oars in the water, but it didn't sound like that. Oh, and there's Norm's
phone. Is that
phone
Norm's phone going off?
Yes!
It's my phone. It's all phone is ringing.
He's gonna get it. It's
the sun
very
is
very important.
The sun is just now coming up, and he's like pushing her in the water with his cane.
Like he tried to clean up the soda at the airport.
But apparently the rope came off her ankle and she came back up.
Gosh, that's really dark.
Is the glass half full or half empty? Or maybe it's broken. Maybe it's not a glass at all.
Rotten Radio.
Only one game in the NBA so far tonight as Boston gets by the Andrew Bynum-less Cavaliers 103-101. Bynum suspended indefinitely for the team conduct detrimental to the team. The Mavs play the Bulls at 7. Rockets and Pelicans also get going at 7. And the Heat play Trailblazers at 9.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay.
And that's the support he gets, guys going, whoa, hey, wait.
Why is that word, that's the most accidental cuss word ever, right? Yeah. It's like people don't accidentally say the other words. No. But here on this station, just about every one of us has accidentally said that word. No.
I think both C words, actually, because I did the other C word.
The male C word?
Oh, did he do the female C word?
He did the female.
Yeah, he was trying to say conduct, and he shortened it a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shortened it a lot.
Yeah. No, I did the female one on an SMU game, remember?
That's right. I did the male one on one of those Channel 8 Big DNYE things when I was trying to say the Corbell Cork Pop contest.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, the tickets. Rotten Radio is on the air. We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
We talk about the topics of the day together and take phone calls from girls. Mainly take phone calls from girls. Really all we do is take phone calls from girls. Which is awesome because we find all different types of women out there, right? I mean, in the years that we've been doing this, it is just a smorgasbord of chicks.
It's always very revealing. Because, you know, we're in here doing the show, and I don't know about you, but I never conjure up much of a mental image of who's out there or anything like that. And I guess when I do think of them, I tend to think in a very generic way, be it guy, girl, be it old, young, whatever.
But, right.
You know, you wander out on this tree branch a little bit, and you see how specific the listenership gets.
Yeah. Well, the best phone call of the night was the last phone call of the night, and it was a woman named LaFonda. So she calls in at 1:15 in the morning. And I remember her from last year, and I want to say that is some form of pseudonym that LaFonda uses.
Mm-hmm.
But LaFonda had an interesting conundrum, and she called for a specific reason. A lot of women call for, you know, whatever. A lot of them call because their boyfriends are sitting there. Their husbands are like, call in, man, call in. Just see what they say. But she actually had a quandary, and she posed this to us.
LaFonda.
Who?
LaFonda.
LaFonda. All right. Hey, LaFonda.
Hello?
Hey.
I'm calling up. I'm representing for sisters tonight. What's up?
What's happening?
Yeah, what's up, Donovan? Yo, nobody called and represented for the sisters tonight, so I'm stepping in for you.
All right.
Your name is LaFonda?
No.
Hell no, it's not.
No.
Hey, Mike, you don't know me from last year. You told me to tell Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. I said, what's up? You said, what's up?
I don't remember telling anybody to tell Harold Melvin the Blues.
If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever, ever know me. Ooh.
By the way, inevitably, this is what the thing turns into, is a big sing-along.
Yes.
You know?
Anything.
I don't remember telling Harold.
Mike, I swear to God, I can't make that up. Like, that's exactly what you told me.
Where you live, LaFonda? I've been drinking a lot that night, LaFonda.
Arlington. I'm living in Arlington right now. I'm from Chicago. I'm living in Arlington right now.
How long you been in Arlington?
Too long. Too damn long.
What does that mean? How long is too long? When did you leave Chicago?
10 years ago, maybe.
10?
Yeah.
What brought you to Dallas?
I was following my mom, so that's it. But I got a real question to ask y'all, because I know y'all trying to wrap it up.
I'm
going to wrap it up, B.
Wrap it up, B.
Okay, so listen. I'm like a lady of a certain age, okay? I'm
all
black,
right,
so you know Donovan, black don't crack.
Damn right it don't.
Do it.
Yep.
And so I never really try to tiptoe to the other side, if you know what I mean.
Like do something with a white guy.
Right.
All right.
But I kind of met somebody and I'm like, I'm thinking I'm finna test these waters.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so I'm asking, I love you, Donovan, but I'm asking a white man, like, what is my strategy as far as, like, the rules of engagement as far as dating a white dude? Like, I don't even know how to approach that.
It's no different than dating a black dude.
You know what?
No, it really is, though.
I had the same, I am not mad at you because I had the same thought. When I was, because I didn't go to high school with any one white girl and nobody dated her. And then I went to college. I didn't talk to any white girls because I thought you had to do something different. For real, dude. I thought it was something totally different.
But I mean, look.
I think she's right. It's very different.
Okay, but the awkwardness level of a man and a woman is the same no matter what race you are, right?
But, I mean, I think it's elevated just a little bit just because it's going to always be awkward, especially, you know, just one-on-one male and female. But I think it's just elevated, 10%, 20% when it's, you a different race.
Well, at least at the start.
When you're world. Let's keep it real.
Well, at least at the start when you're breaking the ice.
You want to say that you like the Carpenters?
Grab them by the...
I mean, I don't. I think that there's no... You can't be any different, though. You just got to be yourself because, seriously, at least what I think, just the man-woman dynamic, it's weird. Once you get to eighth grade, it's weird, right?
Right.
It's really weird.
Okay, I'm going to just tell y'all, I'm 40, okay?
Yeah.
And this is a 45-year-old white man. And when I see white man right now, Donald Trump, and I'm just down.
Well, you know what? You got to look past that because there's a lot. Half the men in the country are not like that. And clearly, if he's asking you out, he's not like that. So don't try to, think that you're going in.
Now, has he asked you out?
Yeah, he's the one who, actually, I'm going to just put it like this. He was kind of my Uber driver.
Oh.
He just had, a bomb conversation, when he was, driving me back to where I was going or whatever. And we exchanged numbers, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to just charge it to the game. I'm not really going to pursue it or anything, but he kind of came at me. But the thing about it is I deal out with him already one time.
And was he cool?
How was that?
He was dope.
Okay, so
perfect.
Yeah, you got to really try to look past that because you could be missing out if you want to hesitate just because he's of a different race.
Now, sometimes I always look, and sometimes you'll see mixed couples when they're out in public. They never, ever look happy because I think they always feel that people are looking at them and judging
right,
and all that
exactly
stuff.
That's exactly how I felt. I felt like...
Yeah, you can't worry about that. Who gives a rip? Yeah, you can't control what they do. You just have to go about it. If you're comfortable with it, then you have to be comfortable with it.
Are you worried that he's going to have a small wiener?
All right, so here we go.
Boy, that's getting to the point.
Oh, my God.
So here goes McDowell.
But she seems to have everything else fine.
Right, right. And, boy.
This could be the only problem.
This is where it gets pretty interesting.
Actually, he sent me a pic of it.
Whoa.
Right out of the shoot.
You've been out once?
Ends it.
And
ends it all.
He sent you a
That was his profile for his Uber pic.
He's on his way.
Wow.
And his license plate number.
Yeah. Steve looks incredible.
So he's already sent you a junk pic.
Yeah.
What have you sent him anything back?
I sent it in my bag, but I haven't sent it back yet because I can't get the angle quite right. Whoa.
Did you ask for it or did he just volunteer?
No. He just asked me if he could sit. I sent him something.
What did you send him?
Up tops.
Picture of your boobs?
No, like a Pornhub video, you know, one of them. Black chick, white dude.
And this girl seems great.
Wait a minute. Of someone else or you?
Suddenly Dan is like standing up.
Someone else.
So you,
he's so excited over
wait,
this.
What?
We all are, though. Man. We're like, wait,
black chick. She sent a black chick, white dude Pornhub video. Well, I think she's going to fly in a minute here.
Okay. I just said I think we can remake this video and that we can do it way better than this.
This is the greatest.
Okay.
He's sending you that.
Okay. I'm going to tell you.
Man.
Yeah, she's calling us asking, like, hey, what should I do?
I'm not sure
she's
if I'm going
already
about this
sent
right.
A Pornhub video to him. They've exchanged pics.
A black chick, white dude Pornhub video, and she wrote, you know, maybe we can recreate this.
And do better.
Stolen
and do better.
Poland.
But she's
now,
calling.
First of all, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. Because those are pros. Those are professionals.
They do that for a living.
It's not like you're sending them, a picture of the Ranger game and saying, we could play better than this, you know?
Right.
But. Yeah, this girl is like immediate marriage material. Am I right?
You would think so, yeah.
You're going about, you're like, oh, I'm not sure how to go about this. You're going about it right. This is the way to do it.
Well, okay.
You're doing a fantastic job.
I don't understand why
In
you
fact,
have
Corbin,
this
the
any,
exact way to get a white
are you
guy.
Being, or you're
do
uncomfortable
you
at all.
I will text my kids right now if she'll leave with me. Like, I'll tell my kids. I'm
you
not
what, that's,
ever,
you're done?
Man. Yeah.
Okay. You'll never see me again, kids.
Yeah.
Smart.
Rubes, am I not correct that Kenseth was not only not near the top in wins, he wasn't near the top in money or anything else from the year. And he still was the, quote, champion driver of the year.
Exactly. I mean...
It's just... Anyway. I
remember that now. Yeah, it was just like it was yesterday.
Well, you think that was good chemistry?
That was awful. And here, Norm is just hoping that TC is ready to go to talk about a guy who I think only fantasy baseball players would know. Because TC also plays fantasy baseball along with Norm. And Norm just kills time until TC is ready to go. And TC gives a very Grubbs-like answer.
You know, sometimes going to the bargain basement helps. And TC... I want to bring a name up to you, okay? Because TC's in our fantasy league, and we all keep close track of players in our fantasy league. I'm not sure TC has his headset on. He doesn't. Has his mic on? Uh-oh, mic off, TC. Uh-oh. TC's doing Sudoku. Oh, okay. Come back on because I want to mention this to TC. He's in our fantasy league. Minnesota released yesterday Kevin Jeppson. He's been an utter flop in Minnesota this year. When Glenn Perkins got hurt, they gave the closer job to Jeppson, and he was awful. But Kevin Jepson's had some moments in his career. Got an idea just on another basis while you pursue this trade and this trade and this trade. Sign Jeppson and ask him to go to AAA. Sure.
And that's all TC had to add.
Gosh.
All of that for that.
He would
that
never
was
do
great
that
insight
to Bob and
that TC gave.
I don't know, Norm. Sure.
Groobs gave Norm more than TC.
Yeah, at least Groobs said exactly, I think, two words.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Groobs had a lot more to say than TC.
Three times the amount to say.
When radio spoils, it's rotten. On Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Go ahead, Mike. What did we see? What was our field trip?
Our field trip was to see Bad Grandpa.
That's right. The Johnny Knoxville MTV inspired. Jack off. Whoa.
Whoa. Jackass.
Whoa.
You meant jackass.
Jackass Whoa. Spinoff.
Yes. Which, in if you shorten it,
what, yeah.
It's kind of a.
It's like a contraction.
Right.
I just screwed it up a little.
You're doing
jackass
spinoff.
It's kind of
spin-off.
A central theme of the movie, anyway.
God, is that guy obsessed with wieners or what?
It's all wieners, doo doo, and farts.
We're stinking up the place with Rotten Radio on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Let's get back to Rotten Radio on The Ticket.
Rotten Radio.
So they're doing weigh-ins today.
Yeah, I got to do mine right after WTDS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like weigh-ins and physicals and all this sort of thing. Here, Mike, how's it going? Here, come sit down, put the headphones on, get right into the microphone there. Here, we're on live radio here. This is very boring. We need...
You're a radio pro. You should know this.
More me.
Hi, Mike.
More me.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Said one person ever.
I just saw Jake in the bathroom, and I pushed him and said, there he is. He goes, don't touch me, dude.
This
and then
the
just
dude
walked
who
out
puts
of,
his hands
and then
on
just walked out of the bathroom like a little girl.
Puts his hands on other. What am I going to do? Oh, fight you at work?
Fight
and
in
lose
the bathroom?
We don't want to fight in the bathroom.
I'm Let's... not exactly butt checking dudes in the bathroom at work. That's not usually a normal thing that I would see someone do. But you did. Because
okay,
you know,
Jake.
Here, into the microphone there, Mike.
You should know that, Mike. You're a radio pro.
Yeah, I am a radio right? pro, Jake.
You got
is that
gum.
The extent of it?
Sure do.
Okay, so this is Mike in Duncanville. Him and Mike are going to be fighting. Now, first of all, I understand it's very hard to pin you down on certain things. Or this is a go, right? Like, everyone can get fired up for this fight. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you feel 100% committed to making this happen, the main event.
It's an absolute beating, Bob, and I'll never do it again because you got to come up here, do this weigh-in. You got to show up at 3:30, stay in this room.
But
I mean,
moved it.
Let's go. I'll go out. We'll go out in the parking lot. And we'll box right now, Jake.
They moved it to 5.
We'll go right now.
They moved it to 5 for him.
Well, who cares?
So, you know, we do this every year. There's 25 dudes.
And it's a beating, and no one ever
does it every year.
Lots of people show up. Yeah. We do it every year, Mike. But we do want to know that you're in because.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ask to use your own gloves and headgear?
Yeah, I did. I do want to use my own gear.
They said
Jake.
That was the only person who'd ever asked that.
Well,
this type of dude we're dealing with here.
I don't.
Yeah.
So, what is the. How prepared do you feel like you are?
I'm ready to go right now, Bob.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
We've established I'm Bob and you're Mike. Okay.
Yeah.
You're ready to go right now.
Yeah.
What's your fighting background here?
Is it
right here? Like this preparation?
You mean, have I fought sanctioned fight? Is that what you're asking?
I don't know. I'm wondering, are you always ready for a fight or have you ramped up fight night?
No, actually, Bob, I'm a pretty calm guy when it comes down to it, but
you're very amped right now.
Sounds like I'm amped right now because Jake is a little bitch. He is a crybaby, and there's a lot of people out there that think that. And
very
you know,
Trumpy, and a lot of people are saying.
I was listening to the Shake Joint Sunday morning. We were flying back from Kansas City, and I was into it with my wife.
Okay.
And she's just sitting there, oh, God, what's his problem? He's got such a bad attitude. Because Jake just sits there and cries about everything. Space super gay, you know, don't put pictures of your kids online. He's just always crying about things.
Okay.
So those feel like less or more substantive things than arguing about whether or not they should run the football or run a counter, run a draw, deuce wildcat.
Maybe a toss. Run some screens.
Listen, here's what it comes down to. This dude started calling and tweeting everyone up here saying he wanted more airtime. He wants more airtime. As you can tell, that would real well. He said he had put in the work.
because he had called Norm's show a bunch of times. Not like Justin putting in the work, who's here for minimum wage 20 hours a week. Yeah. Not like Mino, who put in the work, who's here for pretty much minimum wage right now and has been here for 6 years. He put in the work by waiting on hold.
They're not as entertaining as I am, Jake. And I move the needle. I win e-breaks, Jake.
He moves the needle.
Look at the tape.
He calls in and...